So, in what exactly are we talking about? Because sex is such a broad topic. Today, we're specifically going to be talking about a few top fears or concerns that people have when thinking about their first time. I know, that's already so scary, like first time. That gives everybody so much anxiety, and what we're hoping to do today a little bit is kind of ease that anxiety away, dispel some myths, get rid of some fears, hopefully make everyone a little bit more comfortable, because that's what you should be when you're talking about sex, always.
Exactly. I mean, I know, like, I used to have, like, what's the word? Just, like, false expectations as to what sex is and, like, how it happens because of just the life that I've lived, being, like, in an immigrant household. That's kind of a hush-hush topic. Nobody talks about it. So, yeah, I'm glad that we're able to start this conversation.
Yeah, and before we go in and start, I just want to, like, say, like, I think you got this from what Shane said, sex, like, talking about sex, knowledge about sex, sex in general, it's just such a broad spectrum, right? And I think we're going to be going into that a little bit more, but it is a very broad spectrum, and I want to start off by saying that we are both cisgender, mostly heterosexual women, and therefore our experiences are going to be geared towards that, and I think that's definitely not the experience that everyone's going to have. That's completely okay. And I think before starting this conversation, that's like something that we need to recognize. That's one of the most important things about sex. Don't compare your experiences to anybody else's because it's so, so broad.
100%.
I think that if you start comparing your experiences to other people's, it is going to set you up for a lot of false expectations, likely disappointment, sometimes fear and anxiety, and sometimes it can turn you off of the idea of sex in general because something that you hear that a lot of people may like and something that absolutely repulses you, and that's going to make you think, ugh, I don't want to do this. And that's why don't think about what other people are doing. Don't listen to too many other opinions. I mean, listen, let's take advice from other people if you want to, but at the end of the day, you know what's best for you, and I think that make your own decisions about this. Don't let yourself be overly influenced by other people. This should all come from you. It should all come from what you want. It's all about you here, baby.
So the way we're going to do this, I've got a couple of questions that we're going to go over, four to be exact. And let's start off with one of the first ones. And this, I think, is the most popular question, most common one when people are talking about first times.
And that,
is, am I actually ready? That's a big one. Do you have any, like opening thoughts? What do you think of when you first think of that?
I mean, It's huge. Like, when does one go from, like, oh, you don't talk about it, to, shoot, I kind of want this, right? It's a big shift in your mindset.
Yeah, and it's just like, do I even actually want this? Is it something that I want to happen in my life? Right?
It's scary.
It is scary. And I think part of the reason why it's scary is, like, the morals behind it. It's just like there's so much stuff that's tied to sex, like religion, parental family values, like you mentioned, immigrant household. It's often just like hush hush. It's just something that everyone vaguely knows about, but nobody says anything about.
Oh yeah. I grew up currently in a Christian household, a Southeast Asian Christian household. So this is not something that my parents like talking about. Well, my mom is actually trying to be really open with me. She's trying, and I appreciate her for that. But literally, I can never imagine my dad ever bringing this conversation up with me.
Definitely not. I have a lot of older cousins, so I think my mom just kind of realized and assumed that I'm going to pick things up from them. Like, I got the quote-unquote talk from my older cousin. My mom didn't give that to me. So, and I think from there, it's just like she kind of just assumes that she knows things in conversations that we have. It's implied. She knows, I know what it is, but no, we are going to detail about it. Really, also, when I was raised Muslim, and it was just like a lot of things, just like, oh, this is sacred. This is something that is supposed to be reserved for this time of your life. And I think growing up, I think while I do respect people's like religious values, and I think that is a big thing to consider when having sex, it's like I think I've also had to kind of free myself from the restraint of, like, you know, thinking of sex as something so sacred that I can't even talk about it. I don't know how you feel about that.
Oh, yeah. This was mentioned in one of our equity council meetings, is that religion has to change with the times. Like, it needs to ebb and flow with whatever's happening in society. And I feel like we're in the society that is so, like, it's sex is more prevalent, I feel. And it, yeah. Like, it shouldn't just, like, shut that down. It should really address it because, like, it causes more problems than it causes good if you don't address it properly.
Yeah, and like you were saying, like, sex is so prevalent in today's culture, I guess. I think that brings us to, like, another thing I want to talk about is, like, reasons why people do have sex today. And I think part of that is, like, the hookup culture, right? Sex culture, sex, I don't know if necessarily sex positive all the time.
Oh, yeah.
But there's definitely, like, I don't know, everybody seems to be talking about it. It seems to be on everyone's mind.
I think it's more a Western thing.
I think so. What, like, they're American for sure. I'm not, and I think Canada is, like, diet America, so I think we inherited that. Yeah, it's all around us, and I think that's one of the big reasons why people start to have curiosity, right? You know, they hear their friends talking about Pornhub in, like, seventh grade. I don't know if that's a universal experience, but it was at my middle school.
Oh, yeah, in grade 7, probably, this guy would sit behind me just playing Pornhub. It was insane.
Yeah. But that being said, if Pornhub is the reason why you want to have sex, then I think about it a little more. No, but, like, that being said, there's very few wrong reasons to do it. You know what I mean?
The few reasons not to do it are big ones, but, like, if you want to, if the desire is there, then, like, you shouldn't be ashamed of having that desire.
Yeah, if you feel comfy, if you feel like that's gonna make you happy, if that's something that you want, then girl, do it. Or boy, do it. Or whoever you are, do it.
Unless that, like, reason, like, harms others.
Yeah, so some reasons that I think are good reasons to stay away from that, or reasons to reconsider, is, like, if you're feeling pressured from friends or partners or whoever it is, if your partner is pressuring you, please, please get away from that relationship.
Oh, yeah.
That is, like, no, not healthy. It can often turn into situations of sexual violence. It's just not something that you want to be stuck in, because sex is something that can be so personal. And if you don't feel comfortable, if you're not doing it for you, then that can be really damaging, and I think it might ruin your relationship with sex in the future.
And that's not the thing, is that's not you wanting it, that's you being manipulated into thinking you want it. Like, there has to be a clear, like, you have to know for yourself that you want this. You can't let others pressure you into thinking that you do.
Yeah, so, like, enthusiastic consent, guys. If it's not enthusiastic consent, it's not consent. If it's, like, coerced, then that's not consent. And you need to, like, please learn that.
I feel like every Canadian, like, or at least everybody in the TDSB, I'm pretty sure, has seen the coffee or the tea video about consent.
There's a tea video?
You remember the tea video? It's, like, the British guy, and he's like, if I give you some tea, and if I offer you tea, and you say, oh, I wanted it before, but I don't want it anymore, I'm not going to give you the tea. Like, it just escalates and escalates. It's a really funny video, but I feel like everybody has seen that.
I haven't seen that video. I might link it with this podcast. I might, because I feel like that's something that I want to see now, and I feel like that's a good way to get it through people's heads. Don't let anybody give you tea.
If you don't want the tea. If you're asleep, don't let anyone pour the tea on you.
Yeah, if you don't want a certain type of tea, don't drink that certain type of tea.
Exactly.
Okay, another thing I want to talk about, with am I actually ready? And I think one of the reasons why people think about this question, why this question is such a big one, is because the social construct of virginity is such a big deal. Like, you know, it's virginity is often associated with, like, losing it is often associated with becoming an adult. It's, like, almost like a rite of passage, kind of.
Oh, yeah. I feel like it's also a lot of people feel pressured to lose it, but also like a lot of people don't want to seem like a slut, like especially with women. It's like if you lose it too early, you're a slut. If you don't lose it early enough, you're a prude. And it's just like the society has set up this just awful environment for like sex positivity.
Yeah, and it's just like, but then like you said, it's also something that's like important to people, right? I think in like high school, like at our high school, there's like tally marks, right? It's like a competition almost, like who's had sex in the bathroom the most, right?
There is in our high school a stall that has on the wall written how many blowjobs have been given here, and there may or may not be at least 9 tally marks.
Good for them. I mean, I don't know if I feel comfortable at school, but good for them.
I'm just wondering how many of those were the same people.
No, but it's really important to understand that it doesn't have to be a big deal if you don't want it to be. Thinking of it casually or not thinking of it at all is totally okay, right? If you decide that this is something that you don't want in your life, you don't have to have it. It's not going to make you whole. It's not going to fix you. It's not going to add anything to your life that's like so significant that you can't live without it. So if you feel like you don't want to live without it, if you want to live without it, then you can live without it. I'm rambling here.
It's fine. There are people who like don't have that desire at all. Like asexuality is a thing. Which is different from aromantic, it's like being aromantic, but asexuality is like a thing, and it can be a fluid sexuality. Just there, you don't need to have that desire to be considered part of like normal, to be considered part of society. Just there's so much pressure that goes into this,
the virginity concept. It's just like,
yeah, it's terrible,
and it's definitely a very heteronormative concept, right? It's just oh, boy, girl, sex, marriage, babies, adults, right?
Oh, yeah.
And that's not really how it is, right? Like, I mean, oftentimes people just do it not because they want to have marriage and babies, but because they want to explore their sexuality, or maybe because they just want to feel good for a night.
And I do feel like that's, like, a flaw in the public school system and how they teach sex as well, though. It's never about, you teens will have sex because it feels good. It's always about, you teens will have sex, careful not to get pregnant.
Yeah, careful, don't get an STI, right?
Abstinence is such a big topic for some reason when it comes to teaching sex in a health class.
No, and it's like they teach you everything but how to feel good. When that's like really kind of like, I think one of the, if not the, then one of the biggest reasons that people have sex.
Never have I heard my gym teacher, like my health teacher, say it should feel good. Like,
yeah. And that actually leads me into like another question that people have is like thinking about how will it feel, right? Will it hurt? And I think that's what I get mostly from people with vaginas, right?
Yes.
Because there's so many myths going around, and I think the public school system is also at fault partially because I think that, like, the way they teach it, it's just, like, penis and vagina, you might bleed, wear a condom, blah, blah, blah. And it's, like, and I think going around, it's just, like, even in porn and literature, there's a whole thing, like, oh, you're going to break your hymen, and it will bleed, and it will hurt for a little bit. And I'm just, like, girl, are you sure? Because, like, no, while it may hurt for some people with vagina, it's totally possible. But this whole rupturing the hymen thing, that has been debunked so many times by science.
You can rupture your hymen by riding a bike. Like,
yeah, like, I probably, mine's probably long gone. Like, if I'm being honest.
A penis going, like, a penis penetrating the vagina to rupture a hymen.
That could be the experience for some people, but it's not for everyone, and I think that everyone expects it to be the experience for them, and that's why the buildup is unnecessary here. But in case you are worried that it's going to hurt, like, there are so many things that you can do to make it as seamless and as enjoyable as possible. And this is another thing that people often fail to teach, is like things, foreplay, right? Lube, toys, masturbation. Yeah. It's like, you need to, there's so many things that you can do here.
It's so important that both parties are feeling good in this, like.
Yeah, like, I mean, I learned about lube when inserting a tampon. That was it for me. It's just like, oh, if inserting a tampon feels funny, then you can use lube to go along with it. But I never really thought of it in terms of sex. And then I kind of figured some things out. I did some of my own research and I figured out, like, oh, this might make my sexual life like 20 times better.
Right.
It is just something that is overlooked. Like, use lube. Foreplay, you know, it's something that's overlooked. Don't go straight to having sex. You know, you need to set the mood. Like, get each other comfortable, make each other feel just good for a little bit, right?
Yeah, yeah. If you really want this, this shouldn't be something that is like an uncomfortable, like, it shouldn't be like a quick thing, let's get this over with. I feel like in movies, like, when it comes to sex, it's always so rough. And like, I don't know why it's always so rough.
It's just like one horny boy and one shy little girl. Like, not little girl, it's like shy girl. And it's just like, all of a sudden, it's just like, clothes off, wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. And then cut to the next scene.
Why is the bed broken? Like,
no, yeah, take your time and figure out what you like. Take your time to figure out what you like. Take your time to figure out what your partner likes or partners, if that's what you're into. It is something, I can't stress this enough. It's supposed to feel good, and do what you need to make it feel good. Another big thing here is masturbation. You know, it's like, you need to learn how to make yourself feel good if you want to teach your partner how to make you feel good. Right?
You should be the one that knows yourself the best.
Yeah, it's like, you wouldn't go to tutor somebody without knowing the material, right? It's like, you wouldn't teach a class. If you're a teacher, you wouldn't teach a class without reading the syllabus. Exactly. Same thing goes here. You need to read your own syllabus.
That's one way to put it.
That is one way to put it. No, and another thing in Will It Hurt is, like I said, when people ask Will It Hurt, people often think penetration, because, like, media presents that as the only way to do it. There's no one way to have sex. If something doesn't feel good or it hurts, you don't have to do it, and it hurts. And if it hurts to such an extent where you're really uncomfortable, then don't do it at all. Like, go to your doctor. There's likely something going on there. There may be an underlying issue that would benefit you to, like, if it would be good for you if you got it resolved.
Exactly. When it comes to, like, women and masturbation, though, there's such a, like, stigma around it. Such a, like, nobody ever talks about it, I feel like.
Yeah, people are always just like, oh, like, I feel like sex is so geared towards India, so geared towards hetero men.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, like, it makes everybody think that, like, queer people or people or women don't exist. And it's just like, okay, here, we're, like, you know, we're having sex too.
It's like, they don't get to feel pleasured.
Yeah. And it's just like, I think I've noticed this a lot. It's like, in resources, older resources for sex ed, and it's like, oh, does something hurt? And it's like always kind of low-key blaming the woman, because it's often talking about a hetero situation. They're often blaming the woman or the person with the vagina, and they're saying things like, tell her to relax. And I'm just like, if it hurts her so much where she can't go through with it, then relaxing is not anything to do.
It's never like, find a way in which she doesn't get hurt.
Or take her to the doctor, maybe, right? Tell her to take care of herself. Nope, it's always like,
be there for her. Have a healthy relationship.
Yeah. It's like, I think I know, talking to my male friends about sex, it's like, when I'm talking about them, and these are great guys, and they're going to say things, and realize a girlfriend exists, right? Like, bro, you're talking about getting yourself off 20 times in a row, but where is she in this situation? Like, but really, if you're concerned about it hurting, and I can't stress this enough, throughout the entire concept of sex, communication. Like, I should make this like a dramatic line from a soap opera where they repeat the same thing like three times in a row. Communication. But really, I can't stress this enough. It's like any other aspect of any relationship. You need to let your partner know what you're feeling. You need to know what they're feeling, and through that, you need to work together to create the healthiest, most pleasurable sex life that you can have.
Exactly. I don't know if I cut off when I said it, but I just said, I feel like a woman's wants and desires are never communicated. It's never like a reciprocated thing. It's always just what a guy wants. And guy's kinks, and it's like, oh, you want stuff too? Oh, I'm sorry.
No, and I was doing some research on this, and it was found like, oh, who orgasms the most? And it's found that queer women are, well, hetero men orgasm the most often. No surprise there. But it was found that queer women and queer men are like almost as likely to orgasm as hetero men at the time. But hetero women, they're like way, way down there when it comes to percentages. I think only about 60% of them every time. And yeah, that's not bad, I guess. But if it can be 95 for other people, why isn't it 95 for them? And I think that's part of the reason.
It's almost like they're not given the opportunity to.
Yeah, it's like, it's not fair. Like, you know, we're stressing communication, but then you feel like you can't communicate. I don't want to let anybody know, any woman out there know, anybody with the vagina know, if you are in a hetero relationship, you can communicate. Anybody in any relationship, you can communicate, you should communicate, please do communicate.
If you're afraid to communicate, you should, like, reevaluate that relationship, honestly.
Yeah. Speaking, it leads us into our next point, which is another thing that I think people are so scared to talk about. Another thing for which communication is so, so necessary is I have body insecurities. What will I do about this when I'm ready to have sex? And how will this affect my relationships? What if my partner doesn't find me attractive? What if I don't feel attractive? All that. I want to say good stuff, but it's not really good stuff. But it is important stuff, because I think that so many, especially now, like with the introduction of social media becoming such a large part of our lives, I think body insecurity is so prevalent in young people, right? I think everybody deals with it at some point.
I feel like nobody's satisfied with their body completely.
Yeah, nobody is. And I think that does interfere with sex relationships, right? Especially if it's like, if it's your first time and you are nervous already because it's your first time, right?
Yeah. It then becomes perpetuated with this insecurity.
Yeah, it just adds a whole another layer of like, oh, yikes. Right?
Mm-hmm.
But that being said, it's like there are ways to work around it. Not around it. There are ways to overcome it, I think. Mm-hmm. Because it's not something you can work around. I think it's going to be there and you're going to have to deal with it.
Yeah.
But it's a journey, right?
Baby steps.
Mm-hmm. And I think, like, the big one here is, once again, communication. Communication, mm-hmm. communication, communication. I sound like a broken record, but...
No, but it needs to be said.
Yeah. Tell your partner what makes you comfortable. If you feel like, oh, I'm insecure about... This is really random. If I'm insecure about my hands, say, then I'm like, okay, I'm really not comfortable with my hands. I don't like them. Please don't touch them, right? We can work towards maybe a place where I'm comfortable with them. Maybe that's something that you and your partner want to discuss. However, if for the time being, if you're not comfortable, then you're not comfortable, right?
Yeah. I feel like just there's no, like, nothing wrong with just always asking, is this okay? Like, are you okay with this?
Yeah. Consent, informed consent.
Consent, so important.
Yeah, and it's just like, recognize that it's often a long journey overcoming insecurities, especially in the bedroom. And one that your partner should help you through, right? And you guys could, like, go and explore things together. Like, what can make us both feel more comfortable? What can my partner do? What can I do? What can we do together that's going to make me feel sexy? That's going to make me feel like I want this, like, that I want to feel good.
Exactly. It should never be, like, your partner makes you feel uncomfortable.
Yeah, don't allow your partner to body shame you. A big one. Like, I know that it's something that's really common, because I think teenagers, we say things and we don't realize that they can be triggering.
Oh, yeah.
And they can, like, be interpreted as body shaming, and it can make people really uncomfortable. But if that is happening in your relationship, then say something. You please say something, because otherwise it can be so damaging to your mental health.
It's like, no matter what excuse they give.
Like, set those boundaries for yourself. Like, hey, don't say this to me ever. Like, don't say this to me. Don't do this to me. If you know, that's, I don't know, I'm at a loss for words. But set up boundaries for yourself. Set your, know your limits. Know what you need to make you feel comfortable, and know what your partner needs to do and what your partner needs to not do.
Yeah. I also want to add that even if they say it with good intention, like, I see this a lot on TikTok where, like, was it fits, like, really fit men and women and everybody in between, they're always, they seem to body shame those who are bigger because they're saying, oh, obesity is unhealthy. When it's just, it clearly, they already know, like, what their, like, health is, how healthy they are, whatever. Like, they don't need anybody else to tell them that. And, like,
yeah, especially in the bedroom. Like, you don't need anybody in the bedroom telling you, oh, you're unhealthy.
Exactly. Like, just, not just with obesity, just with whatever. Whatever makes you uncomfortable.
Yeah. But there are things that you can do, like I said, to make yourself more comfortable. Like, set the mood, right? Make yourself feel good. And this can be done through a lot of things. Maybe it's music, right? Self-care. Taking a bubble bath maybe before sex, like, helps you calm down. Maybe that'll make you feel, like, more relaxed, more comfortable with yourself, right? Also, lingerie. That's always a good bet. It can be expensive, but if you can afford it, if that's available to you, I feel like it's a good option. Even if you're not sexually active, just making yourself more comfortable with your sexuality, with thinking about sex, I feel like lingerie is a good, it's a good idea, is it not?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like,
it sets a tone.
Yeah, it does. Like, I don't, how many times have I told you, like, I am, like, but, like, oh my god, I'm, like, I say this all the time, I'm a literal narcissist. I think part of the reason is because I'm really fortunate to be able to do this, I invest in, like, nice things, right? Like, Victoria's Secret, shout out to Victoria's Secret. I feel good about it, right? And I think when I'm talking to potential partners, I, like, that helps me make feel more confident. Like, I know you can't see me right now because we're texting each other, but I feel sexy because I'm wearing this.
But also, if you feel comfortable without it, you don't have to feel pressured.
Yeah, it's something that, like,
on it.
Something to think about. It's something that would make you feel good, but it's by no means a necessity. But that being said, like, that's not a necessity. Lingerie is not a necessity. But making yourself comfortable is a necessity.
Exactly. There's no right way to do this. There's only just a way that makes you feel
comfortable. And it's like, other things that you can do, maybe even, like, meditate. Like, I've read that in some places, like, for people who are into that, I guess. I feel like meditation may be able to help you. Maybe able to help you, like, release some of those insecurities, right?
Right. I've never meditated. Well, meditation does not work for me, but if it works for you, please do it.
Sex is, like, once again, sex is really subjective. It's so broad. It's different for everybody. So, like, communicate, experiment, figure out what works for you. Communicate and experiment. Those are two big ones. It's not a one-size-fits-all. Like, body insecurity is not a one-size-fits-all. It's you might feel insecure about something that is completely different. Like, that is completely different from what your friend feels insecure about, what your partner even feels insecure about. And it's just, like, find solutions which work for you. Right?
Yes.
And here's our last question. I know, so sad. Last question. We're already
I
probably finishing up.
know.
I know. Everyone has loved to hear us ramble about stuff for so long. But yes, it's the last question. I think we saved one of the most important ones and one of the most, I guess, fun ones, I guess, for the end. And that is, will I have an orgasm during my first time? That's a big one.
It is.
Because for most people, the purpose of having sex, especially as teenagers, is an orgasm.
It seems like the end goal for things.
Yeah, and one thing I want to address throughout this is it doesn't have to be the end goal. Like, obviously, I think it's something that most people want.
Yes.
But it doesn't have to be what happens all the time. I think there's a huge pressure to have an orgasm, right? Like, I think you're watching porn or like reading pornographic literature, it's always just like there's a big moment where like everyone's screaming.
Climax.
Yeah, it's like everyone's screaming and it's just like all the cameras flow and hair is flipping and there's bodily fluid and it's just very dramatic and it's just like Shane said, it's like climax. It's like this is what everyone came here for. And I think that paints a really unrealistic expectation. Like,
porn itself is just very unrealistic.
Yeah. I mean, it can be great to explore, right? And to, like, to learn because it oftentimes I feel like it does the job that sex ed class should be doing, unfortunately. But, yes. And it's just, like, orgasm. It just seems like this thing that's inevitable. It's going to happen. It's going to be the best thing of your life. That's not necessarily true, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, although it's the goal, it sex may not always be the most enjoyable thing, especially the first time, because there are nerves and they're just like, oh, I don't really know what I'm doing. I'm kind of fumbling around here. And that's okay, right?
Yeah, as long as you're not like in pain or uncomfortable.
As long as you want to be doing it, then do it. Don't feel guilty or like pressured to have an orgasm, because I think that's something that can actually stop you from having one, is like the pressure, right?
Yeah.
If you're thinking about it constantly, it's likely not going to happen. Like, you know, a watched pot never boils. So if you keep thinking about it, I just use an old lady saying when talking about sex. It's okay. It's okay.
It's okay.
I feel like I'm doing a lot of awkward things, but that's okay. But yeah, it's just like pop culture. It just makes us like, oh, especially for men, it's just like men always want sex and men always enjoy sex. And that's how like magazines and movies and like you said, porn paints a picture. But that is not the case. For any men out there who are watching this, it's like if you don't like sex, if you're not into sex someday, that's okay.
Like, yeah, how you feel is like just as valid as how your partner feels.
Yeah. And about orgasms, like, they might not happen. Like, it's a very elusive type of thing, right? There's so many, I think it's such a complicated process. It's almost harder than rocket science here. Like, trying to figure out how to make it happen because it's so different for everybody, right?
Oh, yeah.
And it's just like, there's so many things to figure out with it, right? It's just like, because everybody is so different, right? It's just like, what works for you actually may not even work for your partner, right? So,
it's not experimentation.
Yeah, and it's like things that you can do to make it more likely. Like we said, masturbation, figure out what you like. Remember, don't teach the course without reading the syllabus. So, masturbating.
Go to teacher's college before you become a teacher.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Figure out what you like. Figure out what you like. Experiment with your partner to figure out something that you both like, right? To make it most likely for both of you. Use things that might make it more comfortable. Use food. Use toys if that's an option, right? If you're using fingers, cut your nails, because that makes sense. Trust me, that's gonna make it a lot more likely.
Cut your nails.
Take your time. We said this before. Take your time. It's not a race. It's not.
And there is no, like, age that you should, like... I feel like that's also a thing with society. Again, I mentioned it before. Like, you do it too early, you're a slut. You do it too late, you're a prude.
Yeah, and I feel like all these pressures can really, like, when it comes to orgasm, like, all these pressures can make it really difficult, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because orgasm is supposed to be, like, very freeing, and it's just like, oh, like, fun, I guess.
Yeah.
Maybe, don't get me wrong, but it's not always what happens, and it's really hard. So for a lot of people, it's really hard to make it happen. Don't feel guilty.
Yeah.
If you can't have one, don't feel guilty if your partner isn't having one. As long as you're both comfortable and it's consensual, then it's okay.
This shouldn't be for anyone else other than you and your partner.
Yeah, and orgasm isn't the sole purpose of sex, right? Like, I mean, I feel like I said, I think a lot of people want it, but it's not the only thing that works.
Yeah. Or
the only thing that people want, right? Some people, maybe they just want to feel good. Maybe you can feel good during sex without necessarily achieving orgasm, like...
Mm-hmm.
And there are so many things that, like, okay, but yeah, like, orgasm, this should be something that just comes naturally. It'll come if it comes. I don't know, I wasn't trying to do that, it just happened. it'll come if it comes. It'll come if you come. But yes, it's not the end all be all. Don't feel guilty. Don't feel like you're abnormal. You're definitely not abnormal. And sometimes...
A different experience for everybody.
Yeah, and sometimes there's a lot of factors that can go into it. Maybe you're having a bad day. Maybe, like we said before, pressure. Maybe it's just you're doing it with the whole wrong gender. That's also possible for a lot of people who are... It's
also possible.
Right? It's just like, if you're not doing it with somebody you're attracted to, then it's not likely that you're going to achieve orgasm, and that's fine. No matter what porn says, you're doing great. And as we come to the close of this, that's like, I really just want to stress, y'all are doing great. If you're here, that means that you're researching, that means that you're taking your time to figure things out, and I'm really proud of you. And have fun, guys. Like, I mean,
yeah,
sex is supposed to be fun. Have fun, make yourself feel good, make yourself feel comfortable, and sex is scary for a lot of people.
Okay.
That's okay, and first times are scary, and like just this, like going, like this goes to show that you're here right now listening to this, it goes to show that you are thinking really deeply into this. And it's something that you care about. And that's something that I'm proud of, right?
Exactly. Just do what you want to do, not what you feel pressured to do. And when you are ready to do it, not when you feel pressured to do it.
So be comfy, feel happy, feel sexy, feel like you're in a good place.
Heck yeah.
Yeah. And once again, I know, like I said, first times are scary, but it's like, it won't always be this way. You will overcome the fear, and whether you do or don't decide to have sex, you're valid, and I hope you all are doing great.